I'll go ahead and get started with the morning message. Ma'ayang buntag satanan. Good morning, everyone. I'm not speaking in tongues. Don't be alarmed. That is Visayan. That is the native language in Mindanao, Philippines, where God has called our family to minister. This has been a five-year labor of love, and it's interesting. We were thinking about this last night because in the Philippines, they're about 12 hours ahead of us, so they're in the future. And as we laid in bed last night and preparing for our rest, it was the first time in 5 years that I haven't been in the Philippines for some church anniversary or some type of visit. And it's one of those bittersweet moments where you miss the people that you're called to minister to. But it's exciting to know that we're here with you folks to get there and be there full time, because that's the plan, to be there full time. Now, tonight you're going to hear about us. You know, we're obviously missionaries. You're going to get challenged by the Word of God, and you're going to hear what we're going to do and why we're going to do it. But this morning, we're going to challenge you folks. So missions isn't just about the foreign missionary that comes and presents their mission and asks you to pray and ask for finances. It's about the ministry of every single person that's born again, because that's missions. It's the job of everyone, man, woman, boy, and girl, to reach people wherever they are. Because missions is not just a location. Missions is your heart attitude towards the lost. And if you love the lost and you love the Word of God, then you'll start actively pursuing missions where you are right now. So, West Bend, the challenge for you today is going to come from the Word of God. I've got my wife, Sarah, Tyler, Zachary, and Elena. And with our powers combined and with the Holy Spirit's guidance, we are the Zis family to the Philippines. We've surrendered to the mission field of the southern island of Mindanao, and we've had to face some obstacles. I don't know about you, but not just weather, not just 18 inches of snow. We're talking about government regulations. We're talking about pandemic things, political things that have tried to slow down the work, right? Because isn't that what Satan does? Satan tries to slow down the work. He tries to not have your car start. He tries to have the icy road stop you from being in this place to hear the Bible. But God always makes a way. And we started our deputation to raise funds in January of 2020. So there was no accident in that, but it was an interesting time to start a mission and raising funds to travel, because in March, the world lost its mind because of the pandemic. And I don't discredit the reality of it. I do believe it's real, and it's a viable thing that's caused a lot of problems and even deaths to people that we've known personally. But God didn't get taken by surprise. God didn't fall off the throne and hit his head and wake up and say, "What is this? What's all these problems?" He knows. And so when God knows, he always knows what's best moving forward. And that's what we have to continue to do. We didn't just sit at home and say, "Well, we'll just wait. We'll just wait." No, we kept meeting with people. We kept looking for receptive people to share our mission with, to open the Bible and say, "Thus saith the Lord," because that's what we always look for, right? That's that when we go out and witness, if somebody starts screaming at you, you might just stand there and have to take a minute and pray so you don't get upset. But we're looking for people that want to hear about the God, right? That's ultimately when you tell somebody, "Hey, have you ever thought about this?" And they say, "No, I haven't." And that door of utterance for us to speak the gospel opens. We have to step through that door. No matter where we are, it's not a Philippines thing. It's not an Ohio thing. It's not a Wisconsin thing. That's a God thing. That's a God thing. So we had some delays. We had things that had to change, and we had to be more observant of things around us, right? Just like when you get up in the morning and there's 3 feet of snow, you might have to change your plans to get to where you need to. There's a lot of things we have to observe. And in this crazy pandemic, I think we can all agree that God's had us slow down and pray more. Have you guys prayed more? Anybody here prayed a little bit more than they might have before this? The perspective that God gave us in the middle of a pandemic is to change us, because he never changes. So when we realize that we need him more, then we can keep moving forward. But when we think we've got things figured out, that's when we have trouble. So this morning, it's not about our mission to the Philippines. It's about your mission here in West Bend, because you're missionaries. We tell the kids, right, be a missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus is the way. That's the plan. There's no plan B. It's that.
Let's get out there and let's tell people about Jesus. Because when we pray, you know, it's interesting that an answer to prayer always begins with a problem. And a miracle usually is revealed through that prayer of the problem. So when we have a problem, we can go to God and we can see miraculous things happen. But we have to keep praying. So our mission this morning is to show you not to miss your mission. So our message is entitled, Don't Miss Your Mission. Don't miss your mission. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do thank you this morning. Even though it is a cold day, the sun is shining and we have life in our lungs and we have you. If we're in this room and we're saved, whether we're here or watching at home, if we're saved, Lord, what a great day today is. It's another day to serve you. And one day you will come back and you will take us home, whether we go into the ground or meet you in the clouds. Lord, I pray until that day that we would all fulfill our mission. Father, you've given us a mission in the Philippines, and you've given our friends here at Bible Baptist Church a mission in West Bend. So help us all to fulfill that mission. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning is about you folks fulfilling your mission. You're going to hear about us. So make sure you come back tonight. We got the potluck right after, right? So we'll eat up. We'll do what Baptists do second best other than believe the Bible. It's eat. You know, we believe the Bible and we eat. That's what we do well. So join us for the potluck and then come back tonight. And if you can't, turn on Facebook. I think you guys do Facebook Live, so you can watch us and listen to us then. But everything here in this planet is battling for your time. Your attention. And when you lose track of your time and attention, guess what happens? You don't fulfill your mission. And that's for young people and old people and everybody in between. So none of us are without excuse. This world is constantly battling for our time and attention. And some of those things are good. Some of it's our kids or our grandkids or our job. Those are important, right? Would you agree that those are important things in your life? But the most important thing in our life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And how do we actively show that we are His and He is ours? We sang that song. That's a great hope, that I am His and He is mine. And wherever we go with whatever we do, that is our mission field. You don't have to get on a plane to go to your mission field. You're in it. You are here today as a representative, an ambassador of God in West Bend to do what God's called you to do here. So, observations, paying attention. I think that we all can agree that we've had to observe. We've had to look at signs. You know, it's weird going to the store now. There's arrows. And if you go the wrong way, man, you're going to get like the looks. And you have to pay attention to those things. We've got to observe things. We can't put our head in the sand. We've got to look forward. We can't be too worried about behind us. We have to move forward. And so with observations, we can all know our mission field. So every Christian here today can know their mission field by applying three key observations. And an observation is simply to take notice of, to fix or fasten your mind and attention to watch carefully in order to gain information or clarity. And I think that we all have to do that, right? We have to observe things because the goal of observing things is to gain information to make a decision. We don't just run out there in the snow and forget to put our coat on. No, we look outside and say, yikes, it looks cold. I need a coat. That's a pretty good observation, a simple one. But what we're going to look at is how the Bible can help us be more observant. We are, we have to challenge ourselves to think during these times, what does God think about this? Not just how is this affecting me? So observation number one is God's leading. God's leading. And lead, it means to bring to a place or goal. It also means to guide. So God's leading is a key that we have to understand. Because I know when I start leading in my flesh and in my good ideas, sometimes it's like that slippery road. You start, it's not the best way. But when God's leading, then I'm not in control. Amen? And that's a good place to be. When God's in control and He's leading and I'm following Him, things will be okay. So you're here this morning because God has led you here and you've obeyed. So you're observing what God wants to do in your life by allowing Him to lead and showing up through those doors. That's a good thing. That's a good start. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Very familiar chapter in the Bible. But Psalm chapter 23 has a message for us this morning as we look for God's leading. Psalm chapter 23. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." You see, it starts with personal. It's the Lord is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. David had a personal relationship with his God because he got to know God. He saw God at work. He went to God when he was troubled. And he rejoiced in the fact that he knew that the Lord was his shepherd. And it's interesting because David was a shepherd, right? We know David as a shepherd boy, and you know, then he had a rock that he slung. But David was a shepherd. And a shepherd had a unique ministry, especially in the Old Testament. But it says, "He restoreth my soul." Man, I know that sometimes my soul, the things that I get so frustrated about, I need God to restore that and make it right. Because if I turn on the news or I get on Facebook, sometimes my mind starts thinking too much and I get frustrated. But the Bible says that he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, the right path, for my sake. Does it say that? It's for my sake? No, it says it's for his name's sake. You see, the Bible's very clear that we are representing God. And David understood that. He knew that when he let God lead him and he followed, the righteous path that he would be on was because God's leading him. Not because of his witty ideas or his creative plans, but because he trusted God to lead him. And it restored his soul. Verse 4, I think that all of us can relate to verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You see, the Bible, the God of the Bible, doesn't just bring you to something. This pandemic, we're going to get through it. You realize that, right? You know, if God can rescue your soul and your spirit from hell and put you in heavenly places with him, I think he can handle a pandemic. I trust him enough every day if I wake up and my eyes open and my heart beats that that's the day he's given me. And I'm going to take advantage of that for him. I'm going to go through the valley of the shadow. You see, it doesn't say, though I walk to the valley. It doesn't say, though I walk around the valley. Through the valley. And all of us have been through a valley. Family, pandemic, all the above. God's going to get you through that when he is leading you. You see, what happens is, God's going to start leading you through it, and then you have a choice to make. Are you going to follow him, or are you going to try to go around it? Are you going to try to come up with a way to not have to deal with the issue? That hinders our ministry. That hinders the mission because you go through the valley. And you know, we always say that God is always with us. Do you believe God's always with us, folks? If you're going through something and you see a shadow, it's proof that he's with you. Because the shadow is only there when light is behind you. When there's light, you see a shadow. He is always with you. We just have to choose to follow him. And you see, the rod and the staff, you know, the picture of the shepherd, typically we think he's got a rod and he's got a... they're always old. Shepherds, when we see, right? They're all in the cartoons and the flannel. They're always old. But if you picture that, you know, you got a guy with a stick and it's got a little crook on it and he's got a beard and he's got like a little coat on. But I want you to think about this because it's not just that. It says, "Thy rod and thy staff." Well, the staff was something that, you know, sheep would wander off and they would take that staff and they'd say, "Come on, sheep, get over here." And it would use it to guide it. It would fit perfectly around their neck and they would be able to kind of move it and assist it. And it was a comfort. It says it was a comfort. But man, there's one in there that I'm not so comfortable with. You know what that is? The rod. The rod is the thing that they would carry. It was a shebet. Kings used it, but shepherds used it as well. And you know what that little rod was for? It was about this tall, this long. It wasn't to give comfort. After that sheep got pulled out of that dangerous place or that water that it wandered to, or after he said, I told you 50 times, don't eat that. Time for a little bit of rod action. Pop. And that's what we need. I don't like it in my flesh and in my honest opinion. But you know what I know? I need it. I need God to comfort me with his rod and his staff because that brings balance to my life. Because it doesn't create a God of just love that doesn't have any judgment. It creates both. Love and judgment. Because that's our God. He's a consuming fire, but he is love. He is the embodiment of love. Love is a person, not just a thing that we do because we say, I love the sandwich, I love the... No, he is love. And he loves us enough to write this and preserve this in his word that it should comfort us, his rod and his staff. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You see, God goes before you. Before you go to work, before you go to school, he is ahead of you. And he is preparing things for us to do for him. He's prepared a table. He's prepared a place. He's prepared an opportunity for you to open your mouth and tell somebody about Christ. The question is, are we following that leading? Are we following that leading? And you see, the world has a couple opinions. They say that, you know, a pessimist sees the cup half empty. An optimist sees the cup half what? Help me out here. Half full. You know what I love? I love that the psalmist says his cup runneth over. I want that kind of cup. I want a cup that's full of him that I can give to other people. I'm not going to get stuck in the world standard and think half full or half empty. I'm going to believe the Bible and I'm going to let the cup run over because he's my God and he's prepared a table and he's comforted me with his rod and his staff. And now the result, when we allow God to lead and he's doing what he does best because he knows exactly what we need, the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall is a promise. Shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you see, goodness and mercy. You know what the byproduct of following and letting God lead is? Goodness and mercy are following you. I don't know about you, but I need goodness and mercy in my life. Do you? Do you need goodness and mercy every second of every moment of every day? That comes when he is leading. When he is your shepherd and you are following him, because we are like sheep. And sometimes we're not the smartest sheep. Sometimes we need a little nudge of encouragement. But you know what? Sometimes we need a little tap on the head. And he knows what's best for us. It comforts us. It brings us hope. And it shows that he is in charge. That's the point. You see, in John chapter 10, the Bible says, but he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. This is Jesus Christ using the same illustration from Psalm 23 saying, I am this. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I want to ask you a question. Do you know the voice of your shepherd this morning? Do you know when Jesus Christ tells you to do something and to follow him? Because if you don't know Christ, you can't hear that voice. If you're here today or you're watching at home and you don't know Jesus Christ and you haven't received him as your Savior, you cannot follow him because you can't hear him. You need to know who your shepherd is. Because here's what we know. We know that everyone is following someone. Everyone here is following someone. The challenge is, do we apply Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. It says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Who are you following today? Because that is definitely not Jesus Christ. If you're following a vain person, if you're following government, if you're following anything other than Jesus Christ, it's a vain person, void of understanding of the Word of God. And you need to follow Jesus Christ. You need to follow the Good Shepherd. You see, we are all yielding ourselves, whether to righteousness or to sin. You know, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 talks about that. You're choosing. You know, it's like a fork in the road. You know, are we going down the righteous path or are we going down Eddie's path or your path? Which one are you choosing? Because God gave us a mind. He gave us a brain. He gave us His Holy Spirit as a believer. But our brain can say, no, I think I know better. I got this figured out. I can do something. And you're in the ditch. But God loves us enough to pull us out of the ditch. He'll take that staff and He'll pull, come on. Or after about 50 times, then guess what it's time for? Maybe a little rod. God will never lead us in the wrong direction. And God's leading, you have a choice to follow or not, because He's not going to make you do anything, folks. Our God gives us a free will to choose what we do. We can all be right where God wants us. We can know our mission field if we know that God is leading. Observation number two is God's allowing. You see, allow means to recognize as genuine after testing and proving in order to establish the authenticity of something. And I think that's a pretty rich definition of the word allow, because in my head I think, okay, I will allow my children to have a candy bar. But just like my pathetic example or thought, God and His Word is allowing things to happen in our life. Do you believe that? I'm not asking if you like it. I'm asking if you believe that. Do you believe that God is allowing, testing and proving to genuinely find out if you want to follow Him or not? That's the question at hand. Not if I like it. Not if I even agree with it sometimes. Do I believe it? Do I believe this pandemic and all the things involved are part of a plan that God has, and He's seen this thing through and He's looking for you to do something? He's testing us. He's trying us. And how does that work? Now, there's a passage in Romans chapter 12. This chapter is full of awesome truths. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This world has a plan for you. Did you know that? The God of this world, who is the devil, He has a plan for you. And He wants to get you to do what He wants to do, not what God wants you to do. And I love this verse in Romans chapter 12. It says, "And be not conformed to this world." Conformity. I was a millwright. I was in industrial construction for 13 years. The word conform means to press or add pressure to get something into a shape. Now, I built and helped rebuild the third largest stamping forging press on the planet, and that was pretty cool. But you know what I learned from that? That machine had a lot of power. That machine's job was to take a piece of metal, put it into it, and then press it down into what it wanted to be. Because at the end of that job, when it would come up and it would come out, guess what would come out? The shape it wanted it to make. That's what this world wants to do to your kids. That's what this world wants to do to us as adults. It wants to conform us and spit out little devils that do what the devil wants to do. Not what God wants to do. The pressure physically of a press forging something into a shape. And the pressure of this world, they are the same. The same pressure that goes through that press goes through and on your life. But you see, it doesn't stop there. God never says, hey, do this and figure it out on your own. He's always going to give us an answer. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed, completely changed. By the renewing of your mind, right? Because that's the real battlefield. If we're honest, man, you start getting this thing going, that's when vain imaginations. Oh, I wonder. We get anxious and be renewing of your mind, that ye may, what's that word? Prove. You see, when we're transformed, you know what we're supposed to do? Prove it. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Eddie? That's not what it says. Perfect will of God. Because when you get pressed down by this world and you step aside and you allow Him to renew your mind and transform it, you're taking on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus in Philippians. He's able to give it to you. Do you apply it? Do you prove it by the words that He's shared with us? Because proving and testing, again, they are not things that we like. We do not like tests. How many of you went to school and said, I can't wait for my test today? Exactly. a test, a challenge. Sometimes we're not up for it. Sometimes we overthink things. Sometimes you'll say, I just can't be like this pastor. Sometimes you'll say, I just can't be like this missionary. Sometimes I can't be like this. How do you know? God's going to do what he wants to do with you, but how do you know that he can't do something better than that guy? He might. He might just have something for you that you haven't even realized yet because we're consumed or we're tricked or we're being conformed. So the challenge is, during this allowing, are we staying silent? During this proving, are we just sticking our head in the sand? We can't do it. Whether that means sending a text to somebody, or an email, or a phone call, or a video call, we have a way, right? We just need to trust God enough to do that. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." You know, you're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, just like the churches that were getting killed back in those days when this was written. You're given it. You're given this book to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." And this is how you can know God loves you. And this is what happens if you do this. And this is what happens if you do not do this. You've been put in trust with the gospel, the eternal plan of salvation. "Even so we speak, not as pleasing men." Gospel's not a very popular message these days. You're not trying to please men, but God. You're trying to please God, folks, which trieth our hearts. You see that word showed up again. The gospel's glorious. What about the trying of our hearts? What about the allowing that God does in our life? The things that he allows that we might not look at the way he does, and it brings trouble to our mind. Well, let's transform our mind. Let's see things God's way. Let's be renewed. And when he tries our hearts, guess what we'll do? We'll be able to stand for him, and we'll be able to fight back. You see, the past and the present, and even into the future, people die for the gospel's sake. Maybe not necessarily here in the States, but all over the world. You see, God wants you to know your mission field. Every single one of you, he wants you to know that. Because whatever trial God brings you to, he will bring you through. He'll bring you through it. The psalmist told us that. Jesus said to hear his voice, listen to his voice and follow. When we see God's leading, and when we see God's allowing, then we see observation number 3, which is God's continuing. Continue means to remain, to abide, and to wait on while working. To wait on while working. You see, with God's help, the disciples that chose to continued to reach the world for Jesus Christ. They got to go out and they continued to make disciples. They continued in the early church to plant churches, to send out missionaries, to continue the work because it was important. It was their focus. They cared and they worried and they concerned about souls perishing and going to hell. So what do? The Bible says, "Apart from me, ye can do nothing," in John chapter 5, verse 5. It's all God's going to do everything. But you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't control you. You have to choose how you respond to God's leading and God's allowing. You see, John chapter 6, if you get a chance today, go through John chapter 6. And at the end of John chapter 6, there's a little bit of a tough story where Jesus talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And he's saying hard things, and it's all spiritual. But the people that heard it thought physical, and they went, "Whoa, that's a hard saying, Jesus." And in John chapter 6, verse 66, yikes, John 6:66, it says, "Many followed him no more." They chose, when things got hard, to hit the road. As a church, sometimes your pastor or your leaders or whoever's teaching, they might say something hard from the Bible. You got to inspect and examine yourself, because that's what God's doing. He's trying your heart. Because the people that love you most will tell you the truth from this book. And they'll challenge you to think about your mission and about your life and about your marriage and about your kids and about everything that's God's possession. He wants to let you do things. As we conclude, let's look at John chapter 8, verse 32. Shortly after John chapter 6, Jesus says this: if you continue in my word — it doesn't say if you continue in my opinions, if you continue in my traditions, it says if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. You are going to functionally and practically do the things that he taught you. Because what we find is that Christians are good talkers. They know God talk. What do they do with it? Because when God's continuing and we're applying that in our life, we will do something practically with it. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we're concluding. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you would agree that last words are important? When a grandfather, a father, a mother, or someone you care about is giving you their last little bit of effort when they speak, that's a pretty important time to listen up. And this last letter written to Timothy, a young pastor from the Apostle Paul. Chapter 3, we read that in verse 1 through 12, is basically if I walk out these doors and I turn on the news, it's that. This is perilous times, folks. This is crazy time. The world has lost its mind. But it's in the Bible. So don't be caught off guard when somebody does something or somebody says there's something that they're not or whatever weirdness happens. Perilous times are here. Trust the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the midst of that, I love how Paul would give you just all the bad stuff. And then he says here in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Continue, folks. Continue through COVID. Continue through political crazy. Continue through snowstorms. Continue. Don't give up. Press forward. He's worth it. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. I get it. We all have stuff going on. We all have things that consume our time. But you need to know your mission field and make that the priority of your Christian walk. Because we've made things in our life personal. We've got friends on the other side of the world that God's allowed us to visit. We've got friends on the other side of the world that need us to come and minister to them, that are waiting for us. And everything that we do matters, because we don't want to just start something, right? You don't want to just start something. You want to finish it. You want to finish what you started. And in Acts chapter 20, we'll finish there. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. After all the persecution, after all the things the church went through, here's what's recorded in our Bibles. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The Bible says, "But none of these things," how many of these things? "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Church, you've been given this ministry of the gospel of the grace of God to go out next door, to go to the next state, to go to the uttermost. And that's what we're called to do, to finish, to continue. Not just me and my family, not just the leaders of this church. Every single person here has a mission field. You all have you all are gonna, kids, you're gonna meet other kids that I'll never meet. You'll get to share the gospel. You'll get to tell them the good news, because I can't. Pastors and leaders and deacons, they're not the ones in charge of doing all the work, because they can't reach everybody. You all have a mission field. So don't miss your mission field. Don't miss it. Everything that you do matters. But what are you willing to do, folks? I think that's the question we have to ask.